We are still in John chapter 4. And we have been introduced to a lady. We don't know her name, but Jesus knew all about her.
He knows her name.
Yeah. Now, I don't know about Samaritan culture, and if she actually took the name of all five of those guys as she went through the one husband after the other. It doesn't say if they all died or if they left her or if she left them or how that works, but she'd had five husbands.
Obviously a shameful thing.
Maybe she told
them. And she had given up on the marriage thing. There's a lot of that going around today.
Yeah.
A lot of that change of partner stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty sad.
And, but I expect that, and it doesn't tell us what she did after she believed on Jesus. I mean, you could guess, but I know enough about Christians to know that Christians can do anything lost people can do except go to hell. That's about it. She not only believed that he is the Messiah, she went straight back to town and started telling the men of the town. That's a little unusual. The woman then, this is verse 28, left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. Now, I'm going to give a benefit of any doubt there may be about her character in this point, because where are the men in a city in Samaria in the time of Christ? They're gathered at the gate. That's where all the gossip takes place. That's where everything takes place in the gate. All the decisions, town council, everything is at the gate. I'm going to believe that the minute she got to the gate, she said, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ?" That's how I see it in my mind, is it happening. Okay. All right. And the disciples came back. They had been buying some food. And it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." And they thought, matter of fact, they said one to the other, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" They did not have their mind on spiritual things, did they?
No. Mm-hmm. Nope.
And we often get to dealing with food and shelter and clothes and all kinds of things, and our minds are not on spiritual things. My mind was on getting her car fixed, and God said, "I got something else for you to handle here for this." Jerry?
But in the apostles' defense, they had just gone to the store.
Yeah.
That's where their mind was.
Yeah, they'd just gone to the store. And when I'm reading this, I'm thinking, what did they bring back to eat?
Yeah.
They didn't have a Buc-ee's. There was no 7-Eleven. There was no Kroger.
Maybe there was no market in the next town.
There was no Jack in the Box.
Had have been ingredients.
Bread and fish.
That I don't know.
Really good
I don't know.
Fresh
food. Farm to table.
Fresh fish and bread.
But Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." How do you feel about that? Jesus took that whole responsibility onto himself to finish what he was sent to do. Every member of this church is called to work.
Yeah.
We are. What was Jesus trying to tell them when he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me"? What was he actually saying? He wasn't saying, this is how I'm going to be fed. This is my nourishment. This is, well, what's he trying to say? Gary?
He said, this is what I was sent here to do.
Okay.
What I'm going to do.
Yeah.
That's where he gets his fulfillment from doing the work of the Lord.
Okay. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Have you ever heard somebody express that their necessary food in life is something besides food?
Yes.
No. This might be where that comes from. So as he says to finish his work, and immediately, you know, we see a verse stop and another verse start, and so we're thinking, okay, that part's over, now they're going to talk about this part, and no, it was a continual conversation. He said, say ye not, there are 4 months, or yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, we already talked about the men are at this point in the scenario that we're... Do you play a video in your head sometimes about these things?
Yeah.
I'm not alone.
Okay, you're not by yourself. Okay, we do think in pictures. So we've got these guys coming out, and I don't know if they all had white turbans on and they looked like a field of something. I don't know. But anyway, they're coming out, and the Lord says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. In my video, Jesus is pointing. I don't know if he's really pointing or not, but in my video he is. He's pointing to all these people, all these sinners coming out that need him. And he's still got this tape rolling. This conversation's still going on. And he says, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to sow whereon, or to reap whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you were entered in unto their labor.
Oh, that's cool.
It is cool.
So the deeds have occurred.
Yeah.
Every person that I have ever led to Christ, and it's been a few, always has a past filled with stories that's brought them to the table today. And sometimes they're amazing, but they always involve others that they've come in contact with.
Yeah.
The drawing process, that's what we call it, because that's what it's called in Scripture. No man comes to me except my Father draw them, Jesus said. That drawing process involves many different kinds of spiritual experiences. And those spiritual experiences amount to what Jesus is talking about here as sowing, someone's sowing. I would like to get you to participate in this lesson today and share some of the things that went on before you came to Christ, that influenced you, that changed you, that pointed you in a different direction, that made a difference. Lisa?
I got saved when I was 33, so I had a lot of life before then. So I was working at Friendswood and Sagemont Hardware, and I was doing all the... We used to have to cut out little pictures and tape them on paper to send them to the Chronicle to make the ads for the weekends. And anyway, I did all that. And I had been moved over to Sagemont because they had new offices that were nice. And a lady named Betty was the other office person, and she was a member at Sagemont. And she was just older. She was gentle, soft-spoken. I smoked like a chimney and used terrible language, and I was real cocky and just
you.
Anyway,
sorry.
Yeah, me. cigarette hanging out on him. Yeah, it was bad. But I didn't know it was bad. I mean, it's just, you know, I was in the world, and we had a break room, and every week I'd go in there, and there'd be a different tract on the table. She never said a word to me, but I read all the time. If I'm at a table eating by myself and there's nothing to read, I will read the cereal box. That's just what I do. That's what my brain does. And I read every piece of those tracts every day. And her behavior toward me was just love and acceptance. And I had never really had that. It was always, you know, you know, you could have done that better, go back and do that again, over and over and over my whole life. And she was just like, well, that's great. And you do good work, and just encouraging me. We had a, was it Friend Day? About 10, 15 years ago, we had, and we invited people who had had a part in God bringing us to Himself.
Yeah.
And she came. And it was not a broader. She's older, and but she had a huge impact on me without ever saying the name of Jesus. Ever.
She said it was trash.
Huh?
She said it was the trash.
Well, Brother Cecil keeps that table full of trash back there for us to say it to other people. Like, you can go put those in the green beans at Kroger. My kids and I used to do that all the time. We just take the trash. When we were at Berean, and you were out training people to do basic Bible truth classes, and the kids and I would go over to the grocery store and just put tracks everywhere in the store.
So tracks
from the beans. I don't remember who it was, but we used to have one of the ladies that would take them and put them in clothes at Walmart, remember? She told us this a long time ago.
Yeah, that's cool.
She said, you know, put them in the pockets of clothes at Walmart.
We could do a lot of things without actually confronting people that make a difference.
Amen. Amen. Clarissa, go ahead. What's your story?
Mine was my, that comes to mind right now, there's a lot that led me to Christ, but my grandmother, I wrote a song when she died about, before I knew the Lord, I knew you, and she was like Christ, and she had, her attitude and the way she treated me was the way Christ loved me. Like, she always just, she just saw me through his eyes. She was just a...
Crybaby?
Yeah, I know.
Jerry, go ahead.
Well, at the end of the day, it came to be that I was acting the truth. And the Lord put it on me, and I've been a sciencey guy, and I believed in evolution. I didn't believe that's religion, but I didn't disbelieve it, you know. And the Lord put it on my heart and said, where'd you come from? Come up out of slime? Did I make it? Which one is it? Give me your answer. And that's really what the real thing that really drove me to it. He said, you look like you come up out of slime, but I don't think that's what it is.
Well, the Lord knows that's how you talk to him.
Yeah. And so I had to, you know, and that's really what started it right there. And once I determined that I was created, I did not come up out of slime. My next thought was, the salvation thing might be important.
Yeah, amen. All right, Vicki and then Josh.
My parents separated when I was in the eighth grade, and my dad moved out, and my mom kind of went nuts. She was always had some mental issues, but then she stopped being an immaculate housekeeper. She stopped getting dressed. She stopped showering. I'd come home, and sometimes she'd be just still in her caftan, if y'all knew what that was. It was a long one-piece robe thing with a built-in belt, and she'd still be wearing that with her pajamas underneath. And she's sitting at the end of the bed crying. So another time I'd come home, and everything in the house glass would be broken in one particular room, and the room just completely destroyed. And then this one particular time, my niece was there, and she was 7 years younger than me, and she went after both of us, and I ran. And I ran to the neighbor's house on the next block, who were longtime family friends, and she realized how things were crazy at my house, and she began talking to the Lord about me. She gave me my first Bible. It was a living Bible, but it was really good because I didn't understand King James at that time. and all the these and the thous was very confusing to me, and it broke it down for me, and she ministered to me, and I had that Bible. I kept it and had pretty much the whole thing highlighted until it finally fell apart when I was in my 20s, and I just, her name was Billy Bethier, and I just really, really
Billy.
And I really appreciated the way that she was there for me. She just, she prayed for me, and in giving me that Bible, she opened the door to salvation for me.
Amen. Amen. Josh?
I was a little more stubborn, hard-headed, and did whatever I wanted when I wanted. And the Lord beat me in the head, and there wasn't much left. And so I changed everything to make a different style of living. Had to change the way I acted. And through that change, I guess I was acting more godly, maybe. I'm not cussing as much, things like that, I'm not sure. But whatever it was, people started, when I moved in here, people started back in church. Just out of nowhere, I was like every other day I had a customer invite me to their church, invite me to their church, invite me to their church. And I moved here behind this one, I moved behind this one. I didn't even notice this church was here when I moved here, that house. Didn't even see it. Kept getting invited. Like, you know what? Fine. There I am.
It's amazing, the stories. Liz, go ahead.
And so for me, the seed was planted when I was younger.
Yeah.
But then I went away and lived a life very far from God. Trying to, I think, fill a hole that was in me that you could...
Yeah.
The world can't fill that.
Amen.
Finally, after years of living that way, he showed me
that Amen.
He was... the one to fill that hole.
Amen. A God-shaped void in you that only He can fill. I've heard it described that way before. One of the things that is a little unusual about other men labored and you're entered into their labors. One of the things that the Lord does sometimes, He doesn't always do it when we can see it, there is a war going on between the forces of good, God, and the angels, and the forces of darkness. And the Lord and Satan are at odds with each other. Satan is still a servant, whether he likes it or not, and he doesn't like it at all. That's pretty evident. But Satan comes with all his subtlety and with all his message, and once in a while the Lord, it's like there's good and evil, and the fight, the battle starting, and the evil one has a weapon. The good guy takes the weapon out of his hands and uses it on him. The Lord likes to do that. He did it with Job. The most horrible thing Satan could do to Job, God used that very same thing to bless Job double in the final outcome. And God kind of did that with me. I was taken to the Pentecostal church while I was a kid. Again and again and again and again. And I saw it, and I listened to it. And every time I went, I was more and more convinced that there is no hope for me. None. There's no way on the planet I can do what you're telling me. So, I'm going to hell. And I believed that. I was totally convinced. And that is a spiritual experience that caused me to end up through a lot of other situations to end up finally this in a Baptist church where all they talked about was the blood. At least that's all I heard. And he showed up on my doorstep, and I said, sure, come on in. I'm a fully trained sales representative with Metropolitan Life. I can sit down and talk to anybody and hold my own in any conversation. So I thought. And he opened that book and showed me that the whole point was that I was right. There was no way I could live it. There was no way I could do anything. There was no hope for me at all. And that's a whole, the whole reason Jesus died was because of that. And man, when I saw that, I must have stayed lost about 30 seconds, maybe, before I put my trust in Christ that night. But it was the evil. It was the lie
right.
that God used to reach out and touch me. Isn't that amazing? Jerry?
That's a very similar, well, same thing really just happened to me in my youth. You know, when I went to the Hellfire and Damnation Southern Baptist, and they were teaching me that I had to live it. Once I got old enough to understand that they're teaching me I had to live it, I'm like, I'm not going to be able to live this. I'm wasting my time here. And that's when I left the church.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not going to be able to do that.
No hope for me.
No hope for me.
And you know, it really kind of comes down like that to everybody. You really have to come to realize that there's nothing you can do about it. You can't change it. No matter what you do, you are helpless, hopeless, and stuck. Nothing you can do. And you really have to come to that.
One other thing, if you remember when I walked in the door here, one of the first things I asked you, I said, hey, Pastor, if you're going to tell me I'm going to have to live it, tell me right now, and I'm going to leave and not waste our time. You smiled and said, you're not going to have to live it.
Yeah, you were in the right place. Took a while to get there, but you were in the right place.
Years, so.
Yeah.
Practically a baby.
Yeah. I'm really glad that I chose this for our discussion today. This is priceless stuff.
I just want to say, never underestimate your influence on those around you.
Yeah.
Like, the way that they see the Lord through you can be that seed, that plant within them that can bring them to Christ.
Yeah. One thing you need to remember, and that is that salvation is of the Lord. Jonah figured that out.
Yep.
He did. And he told us that, just that way. Salvation is of the Lord. And there is an idea that is spread forth in good churches that your life is going to make the difference. What people see in your life is going to make the difference in somebody else's life. And to an extent, that's true. However, you can't live godly enough to be the difference. But praising Him and not being ashamed of Him will make enough difference that the Lord can take it and use it. Camilla, go ahead.
Well, talking about people that influence you, I had a grandmother that influenced me, and she died when I was 5 years old, so you say, well, how could she have influenced you very much? But all my life, my mother took me to church just when I was tiny, all the way.
Yeah.
And I would ask, come home maybe from Sunday school and ask my mother a question about something they said in Sunday school, and she'd say, oh, I wish your grandmother was here. She was so good at explaining all that stuff, and I'm just not good at it. But I would always hear what a godly woman she was, how she started a Sunday school class out in the country in her house, and it grew into a church. And she was after she died, I mean, it was just somebody I idolized as my wonderful grandmother that was, and wished I could be like her, you know.
Amen.
That was just the person that influenced me the most in my
Amen.
Life.
Amen. Lisa.
I think if you've been in other churches or listened to certain pastors on the radio or on television, that you might carry a lot of guilt if someone you love is not saved yet, because maybe you're not telling them enough times, or maybe you're not asking the right question, or maybe you should be like reading the Bible with them or something like that. But salvation is of the Lord, and when He draws that person to Himself, if they respond to that position of salvation or staying lost, that is when they get saved. Not, I guess what I'm trying to say is, stop feeling guilty about somebody you care about being lost, because it's not your fault they're lost. Let go of the guilt of thinking that it's because you didn't do something that you should have done.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people carry that.
Bob and then Gilbert. You got a minute each. Go ahead, Bob.
I had that problem. I had that issue. You know, I wasn't doing enough. And the reality is, that's, I would say, a tactic from Satan. The thing of it is, I put myself in the place of a waiter. I come to the table, I take your order, I ask you if you want ketchup or mustard or both. You make decisions. When I talk to people about God, I ask them, are you saved? Do you want to get saved? You know, simple questions. They don't want to talk. They've already given me the answer. I don't have to labor on that and say, oh, I want you, you know, and I've had other people do that, you know, yeah. And I've watched them do it. And I find it offensive. But for me, it's like I give them the opportunity that I got. If they choose to pursue it, then I give them as much information as they're willing to take. And I do, you know, I've talked to people on the telephone, and, you know, we had a good conversation. We went to church right there. And I asked her, did she go to church? And she said, no. But she watches TV or she listens to a radio program. And I said, okay, if you watch TV, go to YouTube and look up Lighthouse Baptist Church. And she said, in San Antonio? I said, no, in Dickinson. And, oh, yeah, here it is. I'm looking at it. It's got a big lighthouse. Yeah, sure. Okay. So, you know, she's watching. If she's going to watch TV, if she's going to watch YouTube, I'd rather her watch something that is going to be beneficial to her than to watch junk. And, you know, this church has a wonderful ministry. And a lot of people, we come to church, we're here. We're in the middle of it. But there's so many people out there that says, I remember some soul told me about this church.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, this ministry just keeps
that's exactly beyond these
walls.
That's exactly how I ended up visiting that Baptist church. A guy 2 years, maybe longer than before, had given me a tract at a tennis court. And I remembered it. I remember the name of the church. I looked it up. Showed up. You know the rest. Gilbert, he tried to use up all your time, but I'm going to give you some anyway.
That's okay. Sometimes we have influences around us.
Mm.
And we get brainwashed in the makeup of myself, for instance. When you get born into Catholicism or being in the Catholic Church, and the Lord has a way to bring us, and the Word of God, in my case, brought me forward to identify with the matter. Even though sometimes some of the things that we still do in the church are not in accordance, because, for instance, the Lord never gave up the Sabbath, but yet we turn it and honor it to Sunday, the day of the sun. And I don't criticize it. The fact is that we have, the Lord has chosen us, and he tells us, I will never leave you or forsake you. But the Word of God or the Bible cleanses us and makes us identify with who we are in relationship with him and brings us forward to who we are in the present, no matter what happens.
Just so you'll know, of all the folks that I've led to the Lord over the last 40-something years, and it's been pretty steady, but if you want to get into religious backgrounds, Catholics are the easiest people to lead to Christ of all.
The brainwash.
Well, in a way, but they know things. There are things that they have to accept. The virgin birth of Christ. His crucifixion. There are a lot of things that are messed up, but there's enough that's not that it gives them a place to start. It's strange, but it is what it is. One thing is you can remember to take from today, anything I can talk you into, somebody else can talk you out of.
Amen.
It's not about how good your witnessing is. It's salvation is of the Lord. Don't forget it. Yeah. And he will do his job.